Hey, welcome back to the show. Well, Prime Minister Mark Carney is taking a hard turn on crime. His government's new bail reform bill aims to keep violent and repeat offenders off the streets by flipping the burden of proof, forcing the accused to show why they deserve bail. Take a listen to Prime Minister Carney earlier today.
We're fixing ineffective policies from the past and building a stronger, safer future with tough new laws, big new resources, and practical solutions. We will bring in tougher sentences for violent and repeat offenders and invest in thousands of frontline officers to combat crime in all of its forms.
That was Prime Minister Carney speaking earlier today. As he said, the legislation also restores tougher sentencing, limits conditional releases for sexual offenders, and allows consecutive sentences for serious crimes. Now, supporters are calling it overdue. Critics warn it could test the charter and strain an already overloaded justice system. Well, our next guest knows something about the justice system. Rob Danu is a former federal crown prosecutor, criminal defense lawyer, and co-founder of the Danu Dhaliwal Law Group and Case Counsel. Rob, thank you so much for your time today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jazz.
I thought of you right away this morning as I was listening to the Prime Minister speak. So let's start with the basics here. How significant is this proposed bill reform overall?
Well, Jazz, I think we have to look at the overall context. And there's a lot of pressure on all levels of government to do something about what we see as this increased disorder on our streets. And it would be political suicide for government to show inaction. So the real question is, once this legislation is passed, will we see a difference on our streets? And when we look at the actual law itself in terms of the reform, I would say, unfortunately, no. And there's four major pillars of what Prime Minister Carney is proposing. The first one is increased reverse onus bail for major crimes. So that means that the offender has to show why they should be released rather than the Crown showing why the individual should stay in custody. And the issue there is with that first pillar is that we already have reverse onus provisions. So whether it's organized crime offenses, terrorism, certain firearm offenses, repeat violent offenders. Most recently, there was provisions changed for repeat domestic violence offenders. Those individuals already have to show why they should be released. And when it comes to Prime Minister Carney saying, well, we're going to look at past criminal records for the last 10 years, well, that is exactly what a judge already does. They look at the individual's criminal history to see whether they should be released or not. So I don't see anything new here.
The second thing. Can I just stop you there? Sorry to jump in. Because this is sort of the main selling point of this bill when you read it on the surface level. The reverse onus, where you said bill shifts the burden to the accused. You're telling me that's already there. This doesn't provide any greater clarity for judges and Crown or raise the bar in any way?
Yeah, so I'm sure they'll add a few more reverse onus provisions, but this is what judges already contend with for many major crimes. So domestic violence, repeat violent offenders, there's already reverse onus provisions there. So sure, they'll add a few more reverse onus provisions. Will that mean we'll see a difference on the ground? I don't think so.
Not at all. So because you're telling me there's nothing whatsoever, even though this is being announced with great fanfare, it's not going to make any difference in your mind?
Well, that's the whole thing here, right? This is a political sleight of hand. And if we look at what the real causes of these issues are, those cost a lot of money and take a lot of political will, and that is usually not possible in an election cycle. And when you have this much political pressure on you, the easy scapegoat is the courts, and we're seeing that again as we have in the past.
All right, and I cut you off there in regards to some of the other pillars. So let me walk us through.
Yeah, so number two is consecutive sentences. And so what Prime Minister Carney is saying is that we're going to now have consecutive sentences so that people who commit multiple crimes will spend more times behind bars. But guess what? Once again, this is a rewrapping of the old, and we already have consecutive sentences. So when a judge has two offenses that occur at a different time or are different levels of seriousness, the judge is supposed to impose separate and consecutive sentences rather than having those sentences run together. So once again, it's a rewrap. The third big pillar is restricting conditional sentence orders for a range of sexual offenses. And Prime Minister Carney says, well, this reverses past changes, which it does. So what Prime Minister Carney doesn't say, however, is that conditional sentence orders were made available when the Supreme Court of Canada said that it was unlawful to not have them available. So it wasn't any government, whether it's conservative or liberal, who changed that. It was our Supreme Court having reference to the charter. And our Supreme Court is quite clear, sexual offenses are to be taken extremely seriously, and most times you are going to go to jail, except for those exceptional circumstances where they say a judge should be allowed to weigh all the factors to see whether the conditional sentence order is appropriate or not. So once again, this one is going to go up for charter scrutiny. Those will be challenged in courts and will quite possibly fall again. The last pillar is harsher penalties for organized retail theft, which is a problem. But once again, when it comes to this type of language, I don't think we'll see an effect, because more harsher penalties simply means higher maximum sentences, but higher maximum sentences are only imposed for the most extreme cases, and you usually don't see them.
And what do you mean by – so can you elaborate on that a little bit?
So when you have a range of sentence, so a sentence could be anything from, you know, say, let's say 1 month jail, say the maximum is 2 years. It's very rare that you'll see that 2 year sentence being imposed, except in the most extreme circumstances. So that's the minority of cases.
So the totality of what you're saying here is you don't expect any of these changes, this legislation, to have much of an impact. If you were advising the Prime Minister, what would you tell him then that you think will actually move things in a way that the public want to see?
Well, if I was advising the Prime Minister, I'd probably tell him to do this exact same thing, because it's politically expedient. But in terms of what's actually effective, one of the things that the Prime Minister has referenced is more funding. And I think that will actually be effective. So the most important change or announcement that Prime Minister Carney is probably going to make is that there's going to be $1.8 billion in more funding to the RCMP over 4 years. And the reason that the United States is so good at prosecuting complicated domestic and transnational matters is because they throw a lot of time, money, and resources after it. So if you actually want to deal with what's happening in our streets, you do need more police and more police funding. But you also need more resources and funding for mental health, addiction, housing issues, which are really the root of many of these problems.
So a lot of you're saying a lot of the solutions actually come at the provincial level when you look at housing, especially and mental health and addiction.
No, they do. They do. And this is the issue, right? So once again, the courts can always be improved. So the courts are not perfect. We can improve the courts, and we should look at ways in which they can be improved. But the big question is, you know, before we felt that crime was going up, if bail laws were the problem, we would have expected to see a weakening of those bail laws. But the bail laws were exactly the same pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. And really, it's that pandemic period where we see that there's increasing disorder on our streets. So if the bail laws never actually changed, we have to ask ourselves, why is there more disorder? And once again, it's the root cause of the problem. I keep harping on this, but it's mental health issues. It's an addiction and opiate crisis, which is still ongoing. It's now we're in an economic recession, so it's more people who don't have jobs. There's a housing crisis. So it's all those factors which are very difficult to solve. And it's much easier to say, look, we're going to change some laws and fix the problem.
How might, would this in any way affect Crown workload and decision-making at bail hearings?
It will, yeah. So certainly once this these provisions are passed down, then there will be directives from on high for Crown to take these provisions into account. But when it comes to how the work is done in the trenches, it doesn't change a lot, because the judge and the Crown and even the defense lawyers always look at what is the history of the offender and what is a plan that is going to allow the judge to release this individual where there's not an unnecessary risk to the public.
We just had a press release from the mayor of Vancouver, Ken Sim, obviously very supportive of what the prime minister is doing here. And I'm sure other elected officials will be jumping in as well. Where do we go from here? I mean, if this is the case, you're saying that we need more funding for mental health addiction, opiate addiction, dealing obviously with the challenges of this potential recession, especially with this the challenges that are going on right now with trade and tariffs, and then, of course, the broader housing issue. I'm kind of a bit confused in regards to this big announcement, and you're telling me this isn't going to make much of a difference. Is this a question of then what you're telling me? Is this dealing with perception, and really it's not going to change the core issue?
No, it's not, unfortunately. What we really need is a bipartisan effort here. Right? The problem is with politics is that the opposition is making great hay about what's happening in our streets, which is a real issue, and we need to address it. And our elected government feels the need to respond, and they're going to do that in a manner which is politically expedient. So the problem with fighting crime in a democracy is that you can only make changes when it comes to the criminal law at the edges, because you have the Charter, which protects our fundamental freedoms. And when you have a charter and a democracy, there's no first tier for law-abiding citizens of laws and then a second tier for criminals, because everyone's innocent until proven guilty. So when politicians, like on the right, we hear jail, not bail, or lock you up and throwing on the way the key, or we hear Prime Minister Carney's latest announcement, that's typically pure political theater. And to actually make real change, so say we really want to take away this disorder in the streets, you would have to have, you'd have to give away a lot of your rights that we have in this democracy. So if you look at Dubai, people say you can leave your wallet on the hood of your car, go shopping for 2 hours, and your wallet will still be there. But in Dubai, you can also go to jail for not saying the right or saying the wrong thing against the government or wearing the wrong clothes. And that is a level of authoritarianism that we typically don't enjoy or want as Canadians, right? So we have to ask ourselves, what type of a society do we want to live in? And what really the root cause of our problems, and then hold our politicians to account and say, look, let's address the real issues.
So in this case, I mean, is it fair to say the public does want some change? And it's mostly our downtowns that are impacted, not specific to Vancouver, but Toronto, Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco. You see it in a lot of major cities. I was just in London, same sort of thing. Don't carry your cell phone around or use it. Somebody will snatch it. The same sort of things are happening in many cities around the globe in this post-COVID environment. Do you think it's fair, though, for the public to actually demand some of this stuff? I would argue that, look, they actually want to see, more than anything, just a bit of accountability in regards to, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. If you do it, you're going to go to jail for a long time as well. We've had that shooting on Scott Road just early this morning. It speaks to a lack of accountability, a lack of deterrence. And the public do want to see something happen. And one would argue that's what the Prime Minister is doing here, is letting the public know this is the best we can do at the moment.
Well, yeah, no, the public should. A healthy democracy has people who should be outraged when there's crime in our streets. We want healthy and safe communities. It doesn't matter if you're on the left or the right. When you send our kids out to school, we want them to come home safe, and we want everyone, our friends and our neighbors, to be safe. But what we should do as a society is to look past these red herrings and demand accountability and say, well, look, Prime Minister Carney, is this really going to change something, or are we ignoring the real issue? And when we take real issues and then sidetrack ourselves so for political benefit, we are not only wasting time, we're wasting resources, and we're putting our communities in danger.
Rob, as always, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, that is Rob Danu, former federal Crown Prosecutor and criminal defense lawyer and co-founder of the Danu Dhaliwal Law Group. Hey, give me a call on the open line. I've been taken aback by Rob's assessment, but he's the guy with the experience, and I think he actually has got a lot of things right there, folks. He's right. He said, look, I'm not sure how much of a change this will be, how much of a dent this will make on some of the core issues that we've been talking about here. You got to deal with the housing issues. You got to deal with mental health and addiction, the opioid crisis and the recession. And that's outside the justice system. To think that any bit of legislation is going to make, is going to reduce some of the challenges we have, it ain't going to happen. Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, we were speaking to Rob Danu, who's a former federal Crown Prosecutor, a criminal defense lawyer, and co-founder of the Danu Dhaliwal Law Group. He was basically saying that Prime Minister Carney's promise of a new bail reform bill, which should be announced very quickly, as early as next week, which he says will keep violent and repeat offenders off the street by flipping the burden of proof, forcing the accused to show that they deserve bail. Mr. Danu says, look, that's already in the books, the reverse onus issue. He says a lot of these the legislation is essentially there, maybe toughened up a little bit, but it's not going to make it's not going to make a massive impact in regards to what we see on the street, because so much of this is based around mental health and addiction issues, opiate addiction, housing challenges, and even he says you're seeing impacts of the early signs of a recession as well. Would love to hear from you, 604-331-2899. Let's go to Stephen in Burnaby. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call. To the time when the police would nab a perpetrator and we'd all celebrate and say, yes, they're finally going to go behind bars. Now, I've lost confidence in the system, and that's about an hour, that person's going to be out committing the same crime all over again. It must be very demoralizing for the police that have to keep catching the same people over and over again.
Yeah, and you raise a very good point there, Stephen. It is the same people over and over again. You'll talk to people here on Robson Street, I've talked to a few, and literally these folks will move from store to store to store. So, you know, if some of the changes that the Prime Minister says will happen with this new bail reform bill does occur, I'd be very happy with it. We'll see how it plays out over the next few months and years. But I think everybody here in this country wants to see some change. We do not want to see a revolving door justice system. When you think of that shooting that just occurred in Surrey, which we talked about earlier today at the Caps Cafe there on Scott Road, you know, what message are we sending to these crooks and these thugs that it's a revolving open door in this country, that there will be no repercussions for your actions. There's very little to no deterrence, and we don't want that. So, you know, I hope Mr. Danu is wrong, and I hate to say that, but one of our guests, and he is a former federal crown prosecutor. And I do understand these are deeper issues and problems that we have to deal with in our society, but the public wants to see something done here. I'm sure the police want something to be done here. The mayor of Vancouver, Ken Sim, put out a press release just in the last hour or so, very much in support of what Prime Minister Carney is promising to do as they introduce the tougher bail laws. And hopefully that is heading in the right direction. I really do, because you know, somewhere along the way, you still want Canadians at the end of the day to have some faith in our justice system.